Douglas Crook, Wednesday, November 7th, 2012.
Well, let's turn back to Proverbs 31. We'll get a little bit further, at least, in this final passage in the book of Proverbs, dealing with a virtuous woman. We're looking at these virtues, first of all, as they apply to godly women who fear the Lord and want to be the kind of woman and mother and wife that God intends her to be. And then we are also looking at the necessary and invaluable lessons that all of us can learn, male or female, of what Christ is looking for in his bride, looking for in believers, the virtues that he desires to develop in us by the working and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And there are many good lessons. I intended to be a little more brief and finish this up, but I really don't want to rush through it because as I was going through some of my notes again, I realized how important it is for us to learn these lessons about what Christ is looking for in his bride, in his eternal partner. And so we continue to see further virtues, beginning at verse 22. We'll go ahead and read through 27. Proverbs 31, verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. In this passage, we see that the virtuous woman, because we've already seen her to be industrious and able to see the opportunities that are before her and then to take advantage of those opportunities, we see now that she benefits from that wisdom. And she is a woman of wealth. And her husband is a man of importance in the city. And because of that, we see that her clothing is that of fine linen and purple. And both of those materials in that part of the country were indicative of someone who has some means, someone who is able to afford the best. And so purple and fine linen both represent her wealth and also points to the influence of her husband. When we read anywhere in the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, when you read about someone sitting in the gates, to us in our society that means absolutely nothing. In fact, it sounds rather odd for somebody to be sitting in the gates. But in those days, the important town meetings and elder meetings and the important decisions of a village or a town were held at the entrance of the city, whether it be a physical gate or at some point at the entrance of the city. That's where all the important meetings were held. And so this is where the elders of the community met to make important decisions. And so when it says that her husband sits in the gates and he's known in that circle, means that he's a man of authority, a man of influence, and a man of importance. And as such, we see that the virtuous woman is careful not to do anything, including the way that she dresses, to bring shame or reproach to her husband. In other words, she dresses appropriately for who she is. She is the wife of a man of influence and importance. And so she adorns herself with fine linen and purple. And her merchandise is quality merchandise. She doesn't want to go to the market and sell something shoddy that then will reflect on her husband, that your wife is trying to rip us off. She presents quality goods for others to buy. And when she dresses with her own material, it is, again, it expresses her position. And so she doesn't want to bring reproach to her husband. So, fellas, remember that when your wife buys a new dress, she just wants to dress appropriately for her important husband. So don't get mad at her. It's something that this virtuous woman does to bring glory to her husband, not to bring reproach. An example is it would not be appropriate if the president's wife, for example, at one of the state banquets, came to the banquet in curlers and a house coat. That just wouldn't be appropriate. It would shame her husband, it would shame the country, and it would be a reproach to the guest at the banquet. And so how we dress is important. Now, we understand that clothes don't make the man or the person. But often clothes, even in the natural, they do indicate position. They do indicate sometimes means. And in this case, that's exactly what it's pointing to. We need a fresh revelation of who our husband is. Now, again, ladies, in the natural, you come to the New Testament, you're commanded to reverence your husband. And so all of this that we see in the virtuous woman applies to you in your role as a wife and as a mother, as a woman who fears God. But all of us need to understand that we have been espoused to one husband, Jesus Christ. And these same principles apply to us. Do we understand who our husband is, who our espoused husband is? Do we understand who our actions reflect upon? Everything that we do, do we understand that there is one who is an important individual that is affected by what we do, what we say, how we dress, how we act? Colossians 1, let's just see how important our espoused husband is. And this is what is difficult for us to fully lay hold of. This is the one that we've been called to fellowship with. This is the one that we have the opportunity to sit with as a joint equal heir, as a co-regent with him. This is who he is. He is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1, verse 15. The firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Jesus Christ is an influential individual. All things are held together by his very existence. All things exist because of his power and his grace. That's the one with whom we have been identified. That's the one that we've been given the privilege. That's the one that Paul says, I've espoused you to this one. Let's turn over to Ephesians 2. What a privilege we have to be associated with Jesus Christ. This is the elevated position that we've been given because he chose us. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2 and verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, if you could try to picture the full analogy of what has happened to us because of God's grace. We see the virtuous woman who is wealthy and industrious and prosperous and wise and benefits from it, and her family benefits from it, and her husband is praised and his reputation only grows because of her. And yet, how did, in the spiritual sense, how is it that you and I will obtain to that position of the Lamb's wife? It's because when we were yet sinners, dead in our sin, bogged down in the miry clay, ugly, unattractive, apart from God, Jesus Christ chose us and lifted us from that hopelessness, cleansed us, washed us, clothed us, and now we have the privilege to walk by Him at His side, and one day to sit down in the throne with Him. Is there any reason why we shouldn't reverence our espoused husband? Is there any reason why we shouldn't devote ourselves and desire never to bring reproach to Him? After all He's done for us and who He is, He's worthy of that kind of dedication and commitment to Him. We didn't deserve the place, but we've been given it. May we not bring reproach to Him. Now, the scriptural analogy that's given to us here of fine linen and purple, these analogies are used throughout Scripture. In fact, we quickly pass from literal clothing that even in this passage in Proverbs, we quickly understand that we go past talking just about exterior clothing. There is that literal reference. But quickly, we're taken and says her clothes are not material. It's what? It's strength and it's honor. So we understand that there's something more being said here than just literal clothing, just physical material. Throughout Scripture, clothing speaks of our outward testimony, that which others see. Now, God sees the heart. We understand that. And so many Christians, they use as an excuse for their carnality. And they use terms like this. I've heard this all my life. I've heard it recently. Well, I may do this or I don't do that, or, you know, I may ignore what God says in this part, but God knows my heart. As if that's a justification for disobedience and to bring shame and reproach to Jesus Christ. Of course He knows your heart. And He knows His own children. He knows those that are born again. God doesn't have to wonder. He doesn't have to guess. He knows. His very nature is in you. He recognizes Himself in you. He knows who His people are. But when we talk about clothing, we're talking about the testimony that others see. The world can't see your heart. They can only see it manifested by your spiritual clothing, your conduct, how you conduct yourself. And so is our conduct purple and fine linen? For most Christians, we'd have to say it's the house coat and the curlers. It's the gunny sacks. The way that they live, the way that they dress themselves in their conduct, it brings a reproach to Jesus Christ. And saints, if you love Him as we ought to love Him, we don't want to bring that kind of shame to Him. And this is why it does boil down to being a Christian that honors the Lord, one that lives a godly life. It really comes down to a matter of loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes from a revelation of who He is and what He's done for you. It's not from obligation. It's not from legality. It's not from somebody telling you to do this or don't do that. It's because you love Jesus. It's because you know what He's done for you. You know who He is, and yet you still know what He condescended down to you to exalt you and lift you up and put Him at His side. And that love and appreciation for what He's done for you will cause you to dress right, will cause you to literally live right. In verse 25, in the passage there in Proverbs 31, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. There are so many people that are wondering about the future. And I won't get into all of that, but people wonder, what is tomorrow going to bring? For those who desire to live godly, we have a hope that nothing can eclipse. Those that clothe themselves with godliness, strength, and honor, they don't have to worry about the cold coming in and causing them to be sick and die. We know that we are eternally clothed, first of all, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and then we can enjoy on a daily basis the benefits right now of practical righteousness. Strength, I believe, corresponds with the purple material. There is nothing that brings greater reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, than for Christians to be weak. Weak Christians are a reproach to God. And what's a weak Christian? A weak Christian is one that is constantly overcome by their trials, by their needs, and by their circumstances. And because of those things, they stop living a life of obedience to the will of God in different areas. And once you start down the slippery slope of disobedience, it is hard telling where you're going to stop. God's looking for strong Christians. And you say, well, Brother Doug, I'm not strong. As I said last Sunday, we're not talking about personality traits. I'm not talking about just being naturally strong. Our strength is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit that when yielded to will enable us, the grace of God will enable us to do what God's called us to do. The question is, are we going to give in to our fears of the unknown, to the despair of the circumstance or the situation, or are we going to get up every morning and dress ourselves in the purple of strength, that royal color of the strength of the Lord? Romans 5 and verse 17. We don't have to give in to our fear, we don't have to give in to the circumstance, and we don't have to give in to our flesh. The temptation to disbelieve God, the temptation to disobey God. Because in Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now this verse is talking about our eternal life that we possess right now. But because we possess that eternal life, we can, in a very practical sense, reign right now in life. Reign over our own flesh that would destroy us and keep us from bringing honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. There are too many defeated Christians out there, and we all know what it is to be defeated. We've all been there. We've all been tempted. We've all given in to that temptation. But we do need to understand that that's inappropriate clothing for a child of God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always does. The problem is we don't always follow His lead, do we? We don't always follow the direction that the Lord's leading us. But if we will, He'll always lead us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. Notice the external testimony here. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Too many of God's people are too easily overwhelmed by their needs, trials, temptations, and they bring reproach because they're not dressed with strength. They're not dressed with the purple of the royalty of who we are in Christ. We are reigning in Christ. That leads to murmuring and complaining when we're weak. The easiest thing for us to do is to murmur. When we are weak is when we complain. You show me a complaining Christian, and I'll show you a weak Christian. You show me a Christian who worships and serves the Lord faithfully in the midst of trials, and I'll show you a strong Christian who is dressed in purple and who honors the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's don't go around in the curlers and house coat of self-pity. It's just not pretty, saints. Let's dress appropriately for who we are, for who our espoused husband is. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Again, notice how important our espoused husband is. That he would grant you according to the riches of his grace to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. This is the clothing of strength that we're talking about. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Have you found Jesus Christ to be faithful to this point that he blesses you over and above what you could possibly think? This is the goodness and the richness of Christ. Lord willing, I'll deal with this passage a little more in depth on Sunday. But what a high privilege is ours to walk with Jesus Christ. Philippians 4. Whatever our situation is, we should always be clothed with strength. Not weakness. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is or what the temptation is. If we will every day clothe ourselves with the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life of Christ within us, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can dress in a way that honors the Lord. We can live in a way that honors the Lord. Philippians 4:11-13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things. And are these just so many words? Do you think this was really Paul's testimony? Or do you think he was kind of exaggerating a little bit? I believe this was Paul's testimony, and I believe it can be mine if I surrender to the same Spirit that he did. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was dressed in the purple of strength. He didn't give up. He didn't quit serving the Lord. He didn't quit obeying his instruction or his leading for his life and his ministry. Just because things became hard, he was strong. But he makes it clear he was strong in the Lord. Not in and of himself. He expresses his natural fears. He expresses his natural weaknesses and limitations. But every day he'd get up and put on that purple robe of strength. Proverbs 14:26. We read this in our study early, but let's remind ourselves. This is the virtue that Christ is looking for in you. If you've come to the place where you're just tired and you want to throw up your hands and you say, enough's enough, and if God's not going to treat me any better than this, then I'm done. Proverbs 14:26 tells us, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, boldness, and his children will have a place of refuge." We find supernatural strength in resting in the truth of God's word. Understanding that when God says all things work together for good, that helps to strengthen us when we trust God's word. That's part of the strength that we put on. Let's look a moment at the fine linen and what it represents. I believe that the fine linen corresponds with the honor there found in verse 25. She's clothed with strength and honor. She's clothed with fine linen and purple. And here we see that the fine linen corresponds with honor. Honor speaks of that which is ornate or ornamental and dignified. Fine linen in the Bible speaks of righteousness. Sometimes it's the provisional righteousness, which every child of God has. We have all been clothed. We've all been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Every child of God, no matter how spiritual or carnal they may be. God sees us as right before him, accepted in the Beloved. But fine linen can also represent practical righteousness. That is, the child of God doing what's right in God's sight on a daily basis, which is the emphasis of the study of Proverbs. Doing what God says is correct in every circumstance, in every situation. Do we dress ourselves with that kind of fine linen? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. The Apostle Paul uses this very analogy of clothing to talk about conduct. Conduct that honors the Lord is conduct that is in accordance with what he's declared to be right and proper and appropriate. Ephesians 4:20-32. "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying." Now here, get the picture here. God knows what's in your heart. Yes, you don't have to say, "God knows my heart." That goes without saying. But others see what you're wearing on the outside. Others see how you conduct yourself, how you speak, how you react, how you live your life, your associations, your activities. And these things are like clothes, the conduct. Your daily conduct is like clothes. You can either put on the smelly, holy, as in holes, not the other, the smelly garments of the flesh that stink and bring reproach to your espoused husband, or you can put on these holy garments of purple and fine linen, which is the very conduct of the life of Christ, putting away lying. "Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath." There's a time for anger. There's reasons to be angry, but never to sin. Anger is not something that should characterize a Christian for any extended period of time either. But it should be quickly dealt with. Whatever makes you angry, find God's remedy for it and God's response to it, and then joyfully respond according to God's word. "Nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Saints, are we paying attention to what Jesus wants us to wear every day? We talk about grace, we talk about love, we talk about loving Jesus, but we're given some very specific things that we are to put on and some that we are to put off and not ever put on. And these we need to pay attention. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this is what we put on. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. For the child of God, it really is a matter of every day getting up. And you have a choice. The child of God has two closets. One is the conduct of the sinful flesh. Lying, anger, bitterness, all of those things that are contrary to the will of God. You can put that on if you want. But do you know the reproach you're going to bring to Jesus Christ if you do? Do you care that it reflects poorly on Him? Or you have the other closet, and you have the power. You have been given the nature that is able to go to that closet and put on the very life and conduct of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 21 and verse 21. There is no better life to live. It says of the virtuous woman that she doesn't fear tomorrow because of how she's dressed. She's dressed according to her position. She knows because of her position and because of who her husband is, she knows that her future is secure. And saints, we can do the same thing. Now, if she was a foolish woman, we read in Proverbs that the foolish woman destroys her own house. How many times have we seen that played out? That a foolish woman who doesn't fear the Lord brings destruction to her own household, her own family. If this was a foolish woman, she could care less how what she does and what she makes and how she dresses affects her husband. And that would bring reproach to her husband and would bring them to ruin and poverty. But the virtuous woman does everything she does to honor her husband. Proverbs 21:21, he who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. We benefit from a life that honors the Lord. The more that we honor Him, the more beneficial that is for us in this life and in eternity, simply because godliness promotes well-being, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and eternal. If you follow and desire to live righteously by being led of the Holy Spirit, you'll find righteousness. The problem is most of God's people don't follow after righteousness. They follow after everything else that the world has to offer. But if you follow after righteousness, you will find life. You already have eternal life, but you'll find abundant life. And you'll find the eternal fruits of life in eternity. Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. Here clearly we are told that fine linen represents practical righteousness. And those that have learned to dress themselves with purple and fine linen, with strength and honor, will one day be granted the privilege to put on this garment. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. Now, we can't fully understand what all of that means in this life, but we've been given a glimpse. It means to be the eternal partner of Jesus Christ, to share in everything that He is and everything that He has. That statement, if God Himself had not declared it, it would be blasphemy. You should stone me for saying that, if it were not for the fact that God Himself said it. That we can be the eternal partner of the one who possesses all things. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The daily conduct of Christians who conducted themselves rightly in accordance with the revealed will of God. Those are the ones that will be granted the privilege to wear this garment one day. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you want to bring him honor? Dress yourself appropriately for who you are. Conduct yourself as a child of God. Conduct yourself as one who has been redeemed and one who has been espoused to Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to fall in love with Jesus, that we might respond to this glorious calling. We'll be dismissed with that. Let's stand.